This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
How do you do? It's the DJBF program. Jennifer Horn is here. Victoria Keelan is here. Doug Steffen is here. Congrats to Dave Wumkes, whose dad is Stanley, and he's in Palos Park, Illinois. He gets the next mower in the Father's Day contest that we had with the Works. He's got one of those electric mowers that everybody seems to be talking about. Yeah, I want one of those. It's cool. Matter of fact, Jennifer, as a matter of you used me. You plied me.
I used you?
You cajoled me into getting one for your father for, is I not supposed to say it on there because you're listening and it's a surprise?
Well, I think I already had to tell him the good news. Yeah, okay, so I think the cat's out of the bag. But, no, I was the other, I don't know, probably like a week ago.
Yes.
I was saying, hey, your Father's Day gift just came. He said, did you get me a lawnmower? I really want one of those lawnmowers I heard you talking about. I said, no, I actually didn't. And so when we were chatting about it, I was saying how excited my dad was to get the said lawnmower. Right.
Yes.
And you were nice enough to help work it out. I can't wait. He is super excited. I told him yesterday, and he was, like, giddy about it. So
he's done a lot of nice things for me over the years. Why not? How about that? It's a good thing, including introducing
I told him it was all your
his daughter. Yes, thank you, Jennifer. That's very nice.
Sure.
You don't think he sees through that? All right, so, Dave, anyway, congratulations to you. And the thing that I liked about the conversation is that he seems to be so close to his dad. It's easy. We had that contest and make it. It isn't the clip of the day, but it might be. You might add it to the clip of the day. How about that, Phil? The conversation that we had with Dave and maybe the other fellow that won, too, whose name escapes me at the moment. But it's nice to have winners highlighted. And it's nice, especially this time of year when we're thinking about dads. Moms come first. Yeah, we get that in May. But dads need to be high on the list, as it were. Speaking of what's high on the list, what's high on my list is getting Jennifer's take on whatever the, from her point of view, the hour's big story is, the trending story.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Me. You, like, stopped. That was kind of abrupt.
His setup was terrible.
He does know, it was sort of abrupt.
That was terrible. What do you want me to do? You want to talk about
like
the Chinese and how the COVID-19 thing is?
I'm ready to go. I want to talk about Seattle, but it was, like, weird. I wasn't ready. I didn't think you were
stopping. It's a great pop song in the 70s. As a matter of fact, Phil, why don't you see if you can find that song from the 70s called Seattle that we can use to cap off.
In the meantime, we need to find, we should actually play something like, I don't know, the World of Jazz or something, because, you know, there's another country going on in Seattle. It's called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Although there's a coup attempt going on, they want to call it CHOP instead, which would be the Capitol Hill Occupy Protest. So they're fighting it out for the name of their little country that they've set up in the middle of Seattle. They've taken over a police precinct and there are various reports about what's going on. You've had people who are complaining that businesses are being extorted by the people who are running Chaz. You've had people who are saying that it's like a street fair and it's just kind of like an outdoor party. And maybe somewhere in between is where the truth lies. In any case, there was a business, an auto business, that was in that area, and it was stormed, almost being set on fire by a group of people in this occupied zone, and they called for the police. Well, the police did not come because the police have not been allowed into this zone. And so the Seattle police chief,
not
Carmen
allowed
Best,
by whom?
The people who've allowed. Taken it over.
Who are the police? Who's in
Haven't
charge?
Haven't you heard about Chaz, the country of Chaz?
I know that as far as I'm concerned, whether it's the country of Chaz or the country of baloney, if Seattle is a part of the United States and a part of the state of Washington, and it has its own parameters, how can I don't get that. Chaz
has set up shop, and they took over a police precinct, and they drove the police out. And so the police have not really been allowed back in. In fact, they
what
went.
What do you mean not allowed back in? I don't know.
They have a perimeter. They have guards. They have the whole deal. Uh-huh. Come on. Okay. This is like a, it's funny, they're into the wall. They've actually built a wall, if you can imagine.
Send them down to Mexico.
But the Seattle police chief, who just a few days ago was caught on tape saying that it was not her choice to leave that police precinct, that they were driven from it, and was kind of shamed in talking to her officer, now says, oh, no, there's no cop-free zone in the city, because a local business owner is now complaining that when he called 911 a dozen times when his business was being vandalized, that the police never showed up. Well, that's because the police can't get into this autonomous zone, and a lot of the people who are in... A lot of people who are in leadership roles are now defending the fact that it's like a street festival, when clearly there is more going on here. They actually just made a deal with the city yesterday saying that they would move from a 6 or 7 block radius down to a 3 or 4 block radius so that they could put up concrete barriers so that cars could only go through certain streets. They opened up traffic for the first time in front of the police precinct that they took over. So it's a mess, and no one wants to, like, tell them to go away and that this doesn't happen in American cities because they don't want those optics. The governor said he was unaware of this happening. The mayor says it's like a big street party. And the police chief, the poor thing, I mean, I actually feel bad for her. She seemed shamed last week. Now she's denying that there's a cop-free zone in the city. So there's a lot of mixed messaging coming out of Chaz in the middle of Seattle, in the Capitol Hill neighborhood area of Seattle.
So what's being done on whatever level, at federal level, a state level, the local level, to, but this is not the meaning or intention, it doesn't seem to me, of responsible people for redoing the police department. And how do you drive the police out? If this sticks, then the police become the laughingstock, because they're supposed to be the authority.
Oh, no, it's awful. It's like they are the laughingstock. And by the way, Chaz has a list of demands. They actually have a list of things that they want, and that's why they're there. I thought we had talked about this before. I'm sorry that you're...
I'm usually on top of most everything, but this has been a huge story.
And so they had the whole list of demands was that they want the police gone. They want to turn the police precinct that they've taken over into a community center. They want to let everybody who's in jail out of jail. They want no more jails. They want free college education, and there's more.
See,
there's like a list.
This is what's going to happen, unfortunately, if we don't monitor what the proposals are to rework, revamp community policing, what they do, how they do it, with whom they do it, how they're funded. This is ridiculous. And how it is that the National Guard hasn't come in and cleaned these, you know, rats out of the nest.
Well, here's the thing. Trump's been threatening that, but there is federalism, so he's got to let the governor try to do it. But the governor, Jay Inslee, who ran for president, is out to lunch. Apparently, the story with Jay Inslee is that when he does his press conferences, like for coronavirus or whatever he's been doing lately, he requires that the press actually send in a list to his communications team of the questions that he wants. Then he picks the ones that he wants to answer, and then he answers them. And so there's no real interaction. Imagine if Trump did that. I mean, people would have 12 babies every single day that, you know, he would be doing that. So apparently a reporter actually got a hold of him in a real live question and answer, and last week said, Governor Inslee, what are you doing about this occupied zone in your city? And he goes, what? I haven't heard about it from anybody credible. It's like, how do you not know? This is Seattle. It's not, you know, this is not a podunk area where this has been broken out. But he said he didn't even know about it.
All right, so here we are dealing with extremes again. One on one side, on the other, what's the extreme? This is a way, and one wonders who's really behind this, to play that game of one-upsmanship. Who's going to be in charge? And is it really going to be this ridiculous if we allow this thinking to go on around the country? And is this going to create even more mayhem than what we have created now? Where is the community itself? Where are the people who live in Seattle what are they saying and what are they doing?
There's people that are living in this zone that are either being driven out or they're staying in, and the businesses are either being, there's a president, he's a rapper, I guess, or that's at least one of the theories, is that there's a president of this area, and some of the businesses are being extorted. None of them are really being open because they don't use cash in Chaz. So you have to, it's, you know, the currency is kindness. That's the currency.
Look, this has been controversial in the sense that Fox News photoshopped a lot of photos to make it look like this was being set on fire and there were never any fires. Mm-hmm. This is like a hippie
commune. There were a couple last night. There was somewhere in between. Fox did get in trouble, but I actually spoke to a person who I know. His name is Jason Rantz. He does this radio show up in Seattle. I talked to him last week, and he said it's kind of in between what people are saying, it being like a hippie commune, everybody's camping out, and it's wood stock, and what people are portraying on Fox, which is like things are burning down. He said it's in between. He said there's a lot of crime that's going on, but there's also a lot of people who are just stoned all the time sitting in a park. So there's a little bit of both. The problem is that you can't occupy an American city. It's ridiculous.
But what's confusing to the average person, or maybe to me as well, is that if I'm not, I'm an average guy, I guess, in some respects, and maybe not in other respects. I want to know what is going on among the people who say, well, okay, we're being driven out. What are the rest of the people in Seattle doing? Are they just sitting there watching? What is the tone? What's the tenor?
It's a total failure of leadership.
All right. So this is one of those frustrating things. And again, I'm back to, you heard me say, I think on Monday, that not only should the revamping, reworking of the police department be a priority around the country, but also the school department, the Department of Public Works, whatever services you're paying for in your community, you should be the ones who decide how it's done. It's your town. It's your community. So do the majority of people in Seattle think this is okay? I'd rather doubt it. And so under the circumstances, you have ways of recalling the mayor, but in the meantime, where is the authority that they have been given as leaders of the community, whether it's the mayor, the police chief, whoever it is? You don't just have somebody drive you out unless they have bigger guns than you do, and it doesn't sound like they do. Then, so what are they? How do they drive you out? Bigger? Where's the SWAT team?
I'm flipping around looking at this from everything that I'm seeing. I don't think that that's needed at this point. I think that would just create, because by and large, even though there have been reports of multiple shootings, actually the police detective that's been going on the record said that there are no reported shootings and that there are no 911 calls for extortion or intimidation or anything that's been reported. So if you know, I don't know, maybe the people in Seattle find that this is a nuisance, that they can't drive through the people, which is why the borders are set up. But, you know, other than that, maybe they're okay with the protest.
Boy,
I don't know. I don't live there. I'm just saying, you know,
They need to be dispersed. The people of this is ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. And this hijacks the movement that could actually make meaningful change in the country because the far left has just hijacked every good intention.
I don't know if you'd say the far left, even though these people may be leftists, like the people that were at Woodstock. That's
what they say about the far right,
The far right is a generalization as well. There's specific action going on here, and it's not to be tolerated. Father's Day coming up quickly. If you haven't taken care of your dad yet, let's send him to MyPillow. Well, not you send him there. You go to MyPillow.com and sign him up for a set of luxury Giza cotton sheets. Fabulous. And you know what? When you buy one for him, you get a free set for you. Or you can buy one for you and get a free set for your dad. Go to MyPillow.com, Radio Listener Specials page, and use the DJV code to get these special sheets for your dad in time for Father's Day at MyPillow.com. Like a
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
At the hour, music in this hour begins with a focus on a song called Witness by Katy Perry. She, along with Adam Lambert, Big Frida, Billy Porter, Melissa Etheridge, Sia, Ricky Martin, among the stars performing for Can't Cancel Pride, which is a benefit show for the LGBTQ community. The event's virtual event aims to raise visibility and funds for LGBTQ communities impacted by the Chinese pandemic, culminating in an hour special hosted by Laverne Cox, an actress, and radio host Elvis Duran. The live stream going to air on iHeartRadio's Facebook and Instagram pages, and PrideRadio.com. It broadcasts on iHeartMedia stations around the country and on the iHeartRadio app on the 25th of this month. At 9 o'clock local time, the statement from the organizer says we must continue to fight hate and intolerance against all people while redoubling our efforts to elevate LGBTQ plus visibility and providing support for those who are in need. Can't Cancel Pride about showing the community that they are not alone, as the pandemic has led to the closure of community centers and support systems that millions of LGBTQ people rely on every day. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of this sort of thing. In my hometown of Framingham, the mayor has said we're not going to have any beaches open this summer. Which the whole summer? Yep. And it's not because of the COVID. It's because she's mad that the city council cut the budget on some other area. So this is retribution.
Sounds like California.
Yeah, I know, doesn't it? In many ways. All right, so this is, I'm a Ricky Martin fan, and one of the favorites, Livin' La Vida Loca, is what's in the background here. All right? So we're like, what sounds like
the theme song for Framingham.
What, Living La Vida Loca?
Living the crazy
life,
yeah.
Doug, you should go start your own country on the beach.
I can start my, I own the biggest piece of land in town. I can start my own town on my own land.
But you should start your own, do your own occupied thing on the beach.
Occupy the beach, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be fun.
Wouldn't it, though?
You get a lot of attention. You could bring the cows.
Cows to the beach. Here we go.
Oh my God, can you imagine them with, like, sunglasses on and, like, swimmies?
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, cows can float, so they would be all right. All right, so there's our solution to problems here locally. Next up, musically, Nile Rodgers and his We Are Family Foundation announcing the creation of the new Youth to the Front Fund, which will benefit activists and organizations fighting to end systemic racism. Oh, we got all, everywhere approaching and fixing or dealing with all kinds of problems here, right? The new fund specifically supporting and funding under 30-year-old black indigenous people of color youth activists. Wow, that's a mouthful. Under, let's see, 30-year-old black indigenous people of color youth activities, youth-led organizations, projects, innovations, and creative solutions that are at the forefront of fighting systemic racism, inequality, inequity, and the injustice in the U.S. and around the world. Nile says the fund is not meant to be a one-off response to George Floyd's murder and the subsequent global outrage, but rather an ongoing sustainable commitment. Mr. Rogers shared a video message statement detailing his lifelong experiences with racism, explaining why he was compelled to start the fund now. I should know Nile Rodgers, but I don't know. I don't remember why he's connected to Chic, obviously.
Yeah, he's the founder of Chic. He's produced a million albums. He's everywhere. If you saw him, you would totally recognize him.
Okay. Is he? I don't know if I would. Is he black? Is he white?
Yes.
Yes, he's black. Yes, he's white.
That's why he's yes, he's black. That's why he's dealt with racism his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are ways. He was actually first confronted with racism when he was 7, the only black boy in the second grade classroom, where he was harassed by other students and teachers. He said, "There have been countless murders of people of color for hundreds of years." That's true. "The killing of George Floyd has resonated in a way I've never witnessed in my lifetime." I think that's true. "I was politicized as a young person, and now young people are leading the equal rights cause around the world. I'm proud. I'm hopeful. Maybe at this moment in time, we truly will move in a direction of positive change for equality, equity, and equal justice." I think that is something that's a laudable purpose, frankly. So, something to keep in mind. Lots of change. The changes, they are coming, as it were. And maybe the story about what went on in Seattle doesn't suit your way of fixing the problem, but the problems need to be addressed, need to be fixed. Coming up on 29 after the hour here on the Wednesday, June 17th, DJV program.
How to meditate in 60 seconds. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Meditation is like exercise for your brain. It's extremely healthy for you. I only have 60 seconds to tell you how to do it right now, and I've already used some of those seconds up. So here are 5 quick tips. 1. Find a quiet place if you can. 2. Sit upright, because meditation is different than lounging. 3. Close your eyes so you minimize distractions. 4. Sit still, because it's said the quiet body can produce a quiet mind. 5. Focus on taking slow, controlled breaths. Do not get upset with yourself if you have thoughts. Instead, just observe those thoughts with compassion. The real goal of meditation is to be present, so do your best to be present. Oh, and start with doing this for 2 minutes a day. When you feel comfortable with that, meditate longer. For more in-depth information on meditation, visit drchristianconti.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
U.S. Senate Republicans are to introduce a police reform bill today, and South Carolina's Tim Scott, the Senate's only black Republican, is leading the GOP's effort to reform policing following the death of George Floyd while in police custody. Scott says the bill calls for more police training and would reduce funding for departments that don't ban chokeholds. With the federal government now leaving it to states to address the risks from COVID-19, some states are seeing cases surge since reopening their economies. Initially a key player in the federal response to the pandemic, the nation's most well-known infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says he hasn't even been in touch with the White House for a while.
Okay. I spoke with him when we made the presentation to explain to him our vaccine development efforts. So it was 2 weeks ago.
He was speaking on NPR, and this is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Aaron Zelensky, one of four prosecutors who quit the Roger Stone case after the Department of Justice lowered its sentencing request, will testify before a House panel next week. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler said in a statement that Zelensky would be among those testifying before the committee about the DOJ on June 24th. He said there were two subpoenas, one for Zelensky and one for DOJ antitrust prosecutor John Elias. He described them as whistleblowers who will testify about politicization of the DOJ under President Trump and Attorney General William Barr. Nadler also said they would be joined by former Deputy Attorney General Don Eyer, who served under President George W. Bush. Roger Stone had been convicted by a jury last year of lying to congressional investigators in a probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. The prosecutors had asked a federal judge to sentence Stone to up to 9 years in prison for obstructing a congressional investigation. The president criticized the sentencing in a tweet, calling it disgraceful. The next day, the Justice Department announced it would lower the sentencing request for Stone. The lowered sentencing recommendation prompted federal prosecutors Adam Jed, Jonathan Kravis, Michael Morando, and Zelensky to quit working on the case. Elias was DOJ Chief of Staff for the Antitrust Division at the time the agency filed an unsuccessful challenge to AT&T's merger with Time Warner. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Comes from, you'll love the American Family Farmer podcast. Just visit AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com and press play, or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Before half the hour, it's the Wednesday DJV program. I'm Doug Steffen with Jennifer Horn and Victoria Keelan. The focus today, the focus, as far as I'm concerned, this week, this month, this year, is the change that we need. We sort of made a reservation with everybody. We have a lot of ways of moving things from one room, if you will, in our house and our existence to another, there's nothing false about this, as far as I'm concerned. The movement is real, the movements, the need for change. But one of the things that I'm thinking about is we had the conversation the last half hour. If you're just joining us, we were talking about the Chaz situation in Seattle and what the police have done or haven't done. And as I listened to that, I recalled a conversation that we've had here and certainly has been an ongoing kind of conversation for me, because I objected to this when it started in the 1990s, the federal program that allowed local law enforcement agencies to get their hands on all kinds of military hardware. Remember, what was it, 5, 6, 7 years ago, the use of military equipment, enforcement in Ferguson after Michael Brown got killed. Remember that?
And yeah, they rolled out the Bearcats, and they got,
right.
no one liked the optics of that.
No. So this equipment has been available every year, although I think during the Obama administration they put an end, or they slowed down the availability. What was happening was the military, as part of the military-industrial complexity, had gone into the ordering more stuff. You know, what happens on the federal level is if you don't spend all the money that's budgeted to you, you won't get as much next year. So all the departments, but the military is really abusive when it comes to this. All the money that gets set aside for defense purposes, supposedly, and they have a billion or so left over, so they buy all kinds of extra equipment, and then they give it to these police stations and police units around the country.
Well, that's also why a lot of departments don't want to cut down the number of officers that they have, because it cuts their budget. So it's not just the unions, it's also a budget thing, too. Just like you said, they don't spend that money.
It's a con. We're getting conned. We're being conned. No. And so what I'm thinking in relationship, the militarization of the police is certainly ongoing, and they've got a lot of this stuff, and Seattle is a large city, so I can't imagine that they don't have things, even though I object to the militarization of the police, but they got that stuff there, so why aren't they using it, in a sense, or is there somebody thinking
why
about
do you
using
want,
it,
but
should
I,
they be
I,
using it?
Why do you want a military-like response to what is pretty much largely a peaceful block?
I don't know that I do.
I'm watching video of people walking through and filming, and people are gardening. They're tents. It's like a hippie commune.
Well, so that's why I don't understand
Let me just finish this one sentence. Okay, but. Right, but it's organized within that group, and the reason that they're doing it is because they are proving, they're trying to make the point, that they don't need a police state, that they are creating their own non-police area.
But they're also complaining when the police don't come, when they're calling the police. I mean, there's a story about this business who was being vandalized, and they called the cops. Now, are those protesters, or their rights? And this, I'm asking this serious question. Are those people, if let's say that we just call them protesters for the sake of argument, are those protesters' rights more important than the person who owns the business in that area?
Well, you're talking about looters, and looters are not protesters.
No, I'm talking about these people who would not let the police in, and the police would not be able to answer this call about a business getting vandalized, and the vandals are a member of this movement, whether they're coming in and hiding on the back of the people who are there peacefully or not, they're part of the movement. Isn't that guy who gets to run his business, isn't his right just as important as theirs to protest?
I'm not saying that he doesn't have a right to do his business. I'm just saying, overall, I think that this is, you know, looking further into this, I think the reporting on this, it makes it sound like it's
probably
something that it's not.
Yeah,
No. I don't care if they're there planting daisies. They've occupied Seattle. They have occupied a place of the city. They are preventing people from going in and out. They are preventing people from doing business. They are preventing people from accessing their homes. They are preventing people from accessing their business. So I don't buy that. I don't care if they're just sitting around singing Kumbaya. Time to go. You don't get to shut down a city. You don't get to do that.
First of all, it's four blocks. It's not the whole city of Seattle. Seattle's a very large city. And secondly, it's no different than Occupy Wall Street. I lived
in
Manhattan during...
I don't like Occupy Wall Street. Look at all the...
Okay, well, I was okay with Occupy Wall Street because they had a really good point. But, you know, I guess people see it differently. I don't want to see businesses
being harmed. So in your mind, Victoria, the point of this is... The point of what these people are doing in Seattle is... What?
The point is what they're trying to prove, make a statement of, all we have in this country is police versus citizens at this point. We all know the tensions that are there.
Exactly.
They're trying to prove the point that if they live in a non-policed state, that they're governing themselves. Now, obviously, throughout history, any time that has worked hasn't really always ended up well. But I understand the point that they're trying to make. And saying, look, defunding police, reducing the size of police forces is not a bad idea when they're doing their own policing within their little commune.
But their demands are not even about reducing the size of police. Their demands are to take the police precinct, turn it into a community center. They've written all sorts of horrible graffiti all over the police precinct. That's already been destroyed. The city, by the way, is their little area of the city covered in graffiti. And then they want to get rid of the police just in general, and they want to let everybody out of jail, and they don't want any jails. So is that, I mean, how is that realistic? And this is a problem, because this is infuriating.
I understand their point, though.
But it's infuriating.
Occupy Wall Street wasn't realistic. They weren't going to actually change how the system works.
So then get the hell out of the city.
See,
but that's the point of protest.
We need to change how the system works, though. We need
but
to.
That's the
maybe
point
this
of
is
protest.
The beginning. Gives people,
but can I just finish this point and then back to what, you know, you guys. And the thing that infuriates people, like, well, I'm just going to say the thing that infuriates me is that we're at a moment in this country where we could actually have a real conversation about policing reform, about some stuff that everybody agrees with. The president yesterday eliminated it, said he's not going to give federal funding to police officers or to police departments that still implement chokeholds, that aren't doing de-escalation training in a, you know, off, like in a continuous manner. All of those things are things that people are willing to actually make change so that we can get better with our policing. What's happening here is that people who are pushing, who are on the progressive side of this, who are, and I don't mean progressive in a bad way, I'm not talking about progressives, I'm talking about the most progressive sides of this movement, like we're seeing in Seattle, are taking the energy out of what could be a positive movement, and instead they're putting it on stuff that is so unrealistic, like letting people out of jail, having no jails, having no police officers, that they're stealing the good.
They're taking the movement. Yeah, I think we can see that. It's the pendulum going in the other direction. Interesting, as soon as President Trump said that they weren't going to fund any police department that allows chokeholds, within 15 minutes of that, the Framingham Police Department, where I live, banned police chokeholds.
So isn't that something positive? I mean,
yeah,
like something positive that we can embrace as something that quickly happened?
Speaking of the police, the New York Police Department has found there was no criminality. Remember, was it yesterday, the day before?
Yeah,
we talked about
Shake Shack.
In the three. So what was the reason that they had bleach in their milkshakes?
They didn't say it was bleach. I know that was the initial report, but the NYPD has, I don't think it was bleach. So, because obviously that would be, there's no way bleach accidentally gets into a milkshake. So they investigated.
Right.
I guess the police officers have all been released from the hospital. They're all okay, thankfully. But I don't know. There's been no other mention of bleach from the NYPD.
Right.
So that's why they said there's no criminality.
I'd like to know what was
charging.
In it, how it got in there, and how they got sick. I'd like to know that.
It could have been old milk. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's something made them sick, but it wasn't bleach.
Mm-hmm. All right, you have the latest on COVID. I noticed that in Beijing, things don't look too pretty, and we're getting news that actually, I don't know whether these numbers are right or not, but all the new cases of the illness that have been identified in Beijing, are they fessing up to more of the information than they did the first time around? Or is this being reported by Epoch Times? Where did this information come from?
This is across the AP. This is widely reported news. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Beijing, if you look at any of the images, it certainly looks like they are in a major, major lockdown. And so I don't know if the numbers are accurate, but they certainly seem panicked. And so that's why they're doing – it's like they're going through a second wave right now.
Is that a new strain? Looks
like
it might be a new
strain. World Health, it could be. And the World Health Organization said that they want the genetic strain. They want the actual DNA makeup of what China's testing right now.
Is that an admission that the World Health Organization knows that China created this in the first place, if they want
they're saying that now they want samples from Beijing. From the people who are testing positive, they want samples.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see if it's the same strain that they've identified in other places. Because, like, we know that the strain that hit Seattle and California first is different from the strain that hit New York. Because from New York, it came from Europe. It didn't come from China. It came from Europe into JFK. So they know that, and they've identified and separated that strain from the strain that arrived on the West Coast. So this could be this could definitely be another strain that people are reacting to differently, and I don't know. And who knows how many times this is going to mutate? This is like the AIDS virus. When the AIDS virus first hit, it mutated so many times that even as treatment started being developed, as soon as they would get a treatment, it had already mutated again.
Yep, right. All right, speaking of the Chinese, here's another reason not to like the Chinese government. Here yesterday in Boston, a Harvard University professor was arrested, brought to court. He pled not guilty to lying about his ties with China and the Chinese government-run recruitment program to get people to basically spy on Americans. His name is Charles Lieber. Dr. Lieber appeared in court or went before a court with a, you know, video conference thingamabobber. The coronavirus has kept everybody in court from being in court. He answered a few questions from the judge, entered a non-guilty plea. He was arrested on allegations that he hid his involvement in a program designed to recruit people with knowledge of foreign technology and intellectual property to go to China or to give the information to China. In other words, this guy was a ringleader of a band of pro-Chinese communist terrorists in America, basically, and he's under cover of being a Harvard professor, and meanwhile stealing state secrets, government secrets, business secrets, whatever the people can get a hold of. He was paid by how much information he got, and at least that's the allegation, that's the charge against him. Was it
two or three people who got busted at that Key West naval base taking pictures and video?
Yeah, last week. They're all over there. You think they're not trying to mess up your life, boys and girls? You got another. Let's get real with this. Let's get real. And where are everybody is asleep. Where are the people in government that are trying to incentivize our companies to come back here? We still have 40 million people unemployed. Why aren't we aggressively, actively, every day working on bringing legislation to the surface and bringing our ties to China to some normal degree instead of every damn thing you pick up in the store?
Because both bodies of Congress haven't been back in session at the same time.
That's another joke.
Stupid.
All right, here's some television news. Wait a minute, we didn't celebrate National Eat Your Veggie Day. I should do that first, right? If veggies aren't your favorite food, National Eat Your Veggie Day today. Great time to give them a try. Yep. Veggies are very healthy. That's kind of an understatement. If you can manage a bit of experimentation in the kitchen, you can discover how many delicious recipes there are for all kinds of vegetables. I had root vegetables last night with a piece of fish. That is potatoes and beets and turnip and onion. It was really quite nicely done, actually. So if you want that, or maybe your favorite salad, whatever it is, try something for the first time. Colorful. This is the time of year when all that stuff is available, too. Right now, lettuce, spinach, all the early grow stuff is available. So enjoy your veggies today. So says your friend Uncle Dougie. All right, Jennifer, I see Deborah Messing is going to create a comedy about the White House called The East Wing. This is based on a true experience, apparently, during the Reagan presidency. Yeah, have you heard about this?
I have not.
This looks really cool.
It does look cool.
It's
Allie Wentworth, her a lot.
Who's married to George Stephanopoulos. I didn't know that her mom was Nancy Reagan's social secretary.
Uh-huh.
So I think this is going to be really interesting to see how they portray this. I think it's going to be fun.
Mrs. What was her name that was in the West Wing? That Martin Sheen was always yelling. His name was President Baldwin. What was he always?
I never saw that show.
What a fact. You should watch the reruns. All right, Jennifer, thanks for the report. It's 10 before the hour.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy, and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
A lot of people like our Tech Talk segments every day, so let's get at it. Tech Talk time is 53 after the hour. They like because Victoria sounds like she is credible. Not that you don't sound credible in other conversations, but I know there's a lot of homework involved in getting to the bottom of some of this material, and it's nice to know that people appreciate the work that you do because they want to know things like what Yelp is doing to update. This is yet another focus on the China vaccine, virus, and what is going on. So what do we have? What's Yelp finding?
Well, Yelp is actually trying to do their best to help restaurants that are reopening to help spread the word because, as we know, the restaurant industry was hit so
incredibly
hard.
I think they did it the worst.
Yeah, and so now that things are starting to open up in the hardest hit states, Yelp has a few different things that they've rolled out for new tools to allow business owners to share what safety measures they've been taking to keep the customers and their staff safe. So they launched a new COVID-19 section for businesses listed on Yelp and located in between the business's name and then the reviews. So it means it's like the names at the top and then the COVID info and then the reviews will be at the bottom. The section lets business owners show what services they offer, indoor or outdoor dining, what safety measures they're taking. Are they doing temperature checks? Are they doing paper menus, things like that. They're allowed to check off whether they observe different safety measures like contactless payment, mandatory face masks, gloves for staff, things like that. And so Yelp says different cities have different protocols, which is true. Different states have different protocols. We've come up with 10 of the most widely accepted protocols that consumers expect to see, and then businesses can check off which of those things they're actually implementing at their own restaurant. So they also are going to publish a timestamp each time a business owner updates the COVID-19 section. So that means no matter when you're checking out that restaurant that you want to go to, like hours of operation, business updates, you'll get the most current information right at the top. And so businesses can add and update all this information on their own. They don't have to rely on Yelp to do it, which is also helpful. And a lot of restaurants are really desperate to get the word out to their local customers that they are open and they're ready for business. The other good thing that Yelp is doing, they've added a COVID-19 in that same tool section. They have the Yelp waitlist feature, which is a feature that I love to use. If a restaurant doesn't take reservations, you can actually, through the Yelp app, you can get on the waitlist. So you're virtually standing online rather than physically standing in a crowd. You can actually join the waitlist through Yelp. And restaurants will be able to print out a QR code that customers can scan to join the restaurant's wait list, and that offers a contact-free way to get in line, which is a good safety aspect for some of the harder-hit states like New Jersey, New York, California, Massachusetts. In addition, business owners also have the option to manually adjust the wait times, and they can add restrictions if they want by reduced capacity or staff. And so it really puts a lot of control in the business owner's hands, which is a great thing. And it also helps communicate with the consumers, who a lot of people really want to go out to dinner now. A lot of people want to go back to restaurants, and they just want to know that they can do it safely. So I applaud Yelp. Yelp is kind of problematic in other areas, but in this case, I say Yelp's doing the right thing.
Well, one of the big challenges for reopening is the corona China virus spreading through the air the way it does, and how to keep people from getting sick. That's their challenge. You can remove commercials from YouTube. That's a challenge for some folks. Here's how to do it.
The Geek Out.
If you're a regular viewer of content on YouTube, you're very familiar with the pre- and mid-roll commercials that can get a little bit annoying. But last week over on Reddit, somebody posted the most bizarrely simple hack for removing commercials from YouTube, and if you want to try it, I'd do it now, because I'm going to assume by the time you hear this, or sooner than later, Google will remove this oddity. Here's how you do it. If you add a period to the URL of the video you want to watch, you place it after the com, but before the forward slash, that'll do the trick. Remove the commercials. Now, I should note that the content creators and Google who financially benefit from these spots probably won't like that you're doing it, but it's there, so keep that in mind, and we tweeted the details over at The Geek Out.
Coronavirus and flu season puts you at high risk. Feeling sick? Speak with a doctor via phone or tablet. Unlimited doctor access is about $1 a day, and everyone is accepted. Call TeleMed 1 at 800-237-1045. That's 800-237-1045.
All right, next up here on Tech Talk, the FDA approving a prescription video game. This sounds very unique or unusual.
It is. It's a company called Akili Interactive. They have what's called Endeavor RX, and it will go down in history as the first video game that can be legally marketed and prescribed as medicine in the U.S. That is a part of a landmark decision from the FDA. It authorizes doctors to prescribe the iPhone and iPad game for kids between ages 8 and 12 who have ADHD. It underwent 7 years of clinical trials. It studied over 600 children to figure out whether the game makes a difference. According to the studies, it does help. And so this is in addition to therapy, in addition to some medication, this video game will start to be, I think, rolled out within the next.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.